As was announced this morning, the scripture reading will be taken from the book of Revelation. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
You're aware of it, but I just remind you, people are taking record about you. They're keeping up with you. They are observing you, and they're making records that about you. It starts pretty early in life. You know, when we were in school, and you kids are still in school, you know those report cards, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing report cards were, you know. But that was record keeping. They were keeping records on how you were doing at school. When you're at work, they're having regular evaluations of your performance at work. Maybe where you work, they call you in annually and give you a performance review. Hopefully it's good, and if it's good, you hope to get maybe a raise when they do a performance review. You certainly wouldn't want the record of your work performance to be bad. You might lose your job if that was the case, but your employer, he's keeping records on you. The government, apparently the government is really watching us, and they know all about you, and specifically they know about your income, and they know how much taxes you ought to be paying. And so when you file your taxes every year, of course, we want to be honest anyway, but we are also motivated to know, they know even before we tell them probably how much money we made, and they're going to be checking up what they know against what you report, and they're going to be comparing their records to what you put on your tax reports every year. I tell you, living in this digital age, somebody out there is really watching us now when we're on the computer. A couple of 3 weeks ago, I was online looking for some fishing gear, and I don't think I even ordered anything online. But then immediately after that, every time I went someplace, a pop-up ad for fishing equipment came up. They knew that I was looking for a fishing pole, and so they start throwing up ads for me. You know, they're watching. They're keeping records about you. I think we're all aware of that. Well, this morning we want to talk about some record keeping that's being done. But it's way more important than any of those things that we just briefly mentioned. This morning we want to talk about the record that is in what the scriptures identify as the book of life. And so we want to investigate that just briefly and make some very obvious comments about the idea of the record keeping in the book of life. I'll stop here for just a minute to thank you all for being here this morning on this Lord's Day. We're encouraged to be together. Aren't we always encouraged to be together with God's family as we worship Him and offer honor and glorify, when we offer honor and glory to our Father in heaven? And that's really our primary objective this morning. And we certainly hope that we can accomplish that. We want to glorify God. That's what we're here for. We believe that's done by carefully following His Word, by conducting our worship according to the instructions that are found there, in our teaching and preaching to be true to the Word. We believe we honor and glorify God in that way. To that extent, as we study together in the lesson today and really all through the week, I want to encourage you to follow along carefully with the scriptures that we'll be referencing. Make sure that we're handling the Word of God aright. We don't want to misuse God's Word in any way. And so as we go along this week in our studies, if there's any confusion, maybe I'm not clear, or maybe you even disagree with something that's said, please bring that to my attention. We'll get our Bibles open and we'll dig into the matter. We believe that we can understand the Bible, and if we understand it, we'll be understanding it alike. And if there's any question, please ask me as we go along in our studies this week during the gospel meeting. Thanks for inviting me to be here with you this week. I'll tell you what Don wouldn't tell me, what he wouldn't tell you about my preaching. I was in a little place called Jamestown, Indiana last week in a gospel meeting. And it was 40 years ago, almost to the day, 40 years ago, hard to believe, that I left my full-time job and started full-time preaching 40 years ago, almost exactly this month. I'm still trying to get it right. I mean, and I don't always get it right. So if there's any question or if you have any concern about anything that's said this week, please bring it to my attention. Let's talk about the record that's being kept in the Book of Life. Just throw up on the screen here the text that Dan read for us just a few moments ago. We won't take time to reread that again, but notice the reference to the Book of Life. There is a Book of Life. Records are being kept about each one of us. And I want you to spend some time thinking about that. And our first simple observation is simply that such a record is being kept. I really think that most people in our world go through life with a complete apparent unawareness of the fact that there is an accounting to be done. Records are being kept. Some seem to be completely oblivious to this notion of accountability. And most, I think, assume everything is okay, and they just kind of go along, and they don't pay attention. You know, we wouldn't do that with something in this material world. You wouldn't do that with your automobile, for instance. Our automobiles are so sophisticated these days that there's computers on board that are actually keeping track of things. And, you know, oh, don't you dread it when that check engine light pops up on your dashboard? That means that the onboard computer has figured out something's not exactly right here, and it's probably going to cost you money. That's why you don't like it, isn't it? It's probably going to cost you money, but again, you wouldn't ignore that. You wouldn't ignore the idea that there's apparently something wrong with my car. I ought to pay attention, get it fixed. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that with your house. But for some reason, people do that with the thing that is most important of all. They do that with their eternal souls. Records are being kept. And that's really not a new thing. God has always kept record of his people. Look in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, you may remember that Moses had been up on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. But while he was there and away for many days, the people coerced Aaron and he cooperated and they made a golden calf and were worshiping it. Of course, that was a horrible violation of God's will. And so when Moses returned, he said unto the Lord, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Here, Moses was basically interceding for the people. He begged that God would forgive them, but if not, he said, then put it to my account. Charge it against me. Notice, though he mentions the book which thou hast written. And so there was a record being made way back then, all those many years ago. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 1, Daniel was prophesying of things far off in the future. He was actually, we think here, prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem that would take place in AD 70. So it was way off in the future. But notice he says, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered," notice, "every one that shall be found written in the book." And so Daniel was foretelling of things that would happen probably in the first century AD, but he mentions there would be a record being kept. There would be a book being written. And then one more reference, and all these from the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi. Malachi, the prophet Malachi, was prophesying during a time of incredible spiritual apathy among God's people. It was really bad among the Israelites in the time of Malachi. And yet there was still a faithful few. And Malachi mentions in Malachi 3, verse 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them which feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Notice, there was a book of remembrance being written. And so we point all of that out just to point out the obvious, and that is that records are being kept. As we hurry through this life, there's a lot of things demanding our attention. it seems like life gets busier and busier. There's hardly time to get everything done. But as you get so busy in this life, don't forget that there's a record being kept of you in regards to how you are doing about God's work and His will. Now, again, all of these points, I think, are just incredibly obvious. The next point we would make is that the record being thus kept obviously has eternal consequences. If that were not the case, why would those records be kept? There's no other record of you. We were mentioning earlier some of those kind of things, school and work and taxes and all those kind of records that are being kept. No other record about you is anywhere close in comparison to the importance of this eternal record in the book of life. And the reason being, if we go back to that text for a minute, it talks about the books were opened and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. And so judgment, our eternal judgment, is going to be based upon that record. And notice there at the end of that text, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So think about that. It has that kind of consequence. In the next chapter, in Revelation 21, beginning verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so those who will be rewarded are those who are in that book of life. All right, we could probably stop right there if we wanted to, because the main point is made. Records are being kept, and judgment will result from the things that are there. You know that, right? I don't think there'd be anybody in our assembly this morning who would deny those realities. A book is being kept. Judgment will be had based upon what's written in the books. It's the most important record ever to be kept about you. We all acknowledge that. But our real important question to you is, are you living accordingly? Are you living your life with full recognition and application of those couple simple truths? That's what we need to do, obviously. But let's go just a little bit further here. Again, I think all of this is just so incredibly obvious, but we really, I believe, should spend some time thinking about, for instance, the fact that it is the Lord Himself who is the bookkeeper. I was telling you earlier that the government knows all about you, and especially when it comes to paying taxes, they know all about you. I think we would probably be shocked, stunned, and upset if we had a full picture of all the records that the government has about us. The government is keeping records, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not President Trump who's keeping the records. It's not the head guy who's keeping the record book. You know, President Trump knows nothing about you at all. He's not even aware that you exist, okay? The government is keeping records, but he doesn't know anything about it. The top person does not know anything about you. But in regards to this eternal record that's being kept, it is the Lord Himself who is the record keeper. Can you grasp that? Can you grasp the fact that the eternal God, the creator of all things, the almighty God of heaven, He knows your life. He knows it in intimate detail. And He is keeping record of what's going on in your life. I don't know about you, but that's a stunning thing for me to consider. It's hard for me to believe that I'm important enough that God would care to even know about me. But He does. He knows everything about me. He's keeping records. Go back with me to that text in Exodus that we were looking at a moment ago where Moses said, you know, the people had made the golden calf, and he basically said, if you can't forgive them, then put it on my account. Blot me out of thy book of that you have written. In the next verses, the Lord offers a pretty strong rebuke to Moses about that request. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Basically, he tells Moses, he says, listen, you take care of your work, I'll take care of mine. This record-keeping business is my business. You take care of your end of the stick, I'll take care of mine. And this business about who is in the book and who isn't, that's my business, God says to Moses. And it's still the case. God is keeping those records. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." And notice, "I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." And again, the emphasis there on the Lord being the one who keeps the record. All right, now, I want to add one thing to it. So, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The very God of heaven knows you. And he's the one who's the bookkeeper. He's keeping the records. Now, I want to add one other bit of information that you already know. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." So this God who's keeping records, he's keeping a perfect record. The book, therefore, is perfectly accurate. He knows your life. He knows it well. He knows it perfectly. There's not going to be any mistake. You know, when this final judgment rolls around, you're not going to be able to say, "Oh, wait a minute, there's a mistake there. And the record book's got an error in it. That's not what happened. That's not the way it happened." You're not going to be able to do that. Because God's the bookkeeper. And the record, therefore, is perfectly. Are you good with that? Are you living in accordance with that? Are you satisfied about what's being written in your record? God is the bookkeeper. We would point out to a lot of people in the world that not everybody is in that book of life. Surveys continually show, you know, they take these kind of surveys with some regularity, and they continually show that almost everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Usually well over 90% of people who are polled think that they're going to go to heaven when they die. That's just the general opinion of people. My wife is taking care of an elderly lady. She calls her Aunt Barb. She's not really any blood kin, but the lady doesn't have any kin to take care of her. So my wife has been taking care of her for several years. This lady, although we've known her forever, I think Cindy's known her since she was just a little bitty girl. I've known her almost 50 years. She's a professed Catholic. But even by Catholic standards, she's incredible. I've known her for almost 50 years. I've never known her go to a Catholic Mass, not even one time in 50 years. The Catholics would tell her that she's lost. But she thinks everything's fine. Through the years, we have just begged and pleaded to study the Scriptures with us, and she just blows it off. She just passes it off. She's not interested at all. She's absolutely content and satisfied that she's right with God and she's going to heaven when she dies. But that's the story of almost everybody in our world, isn't it? Almost everybody thinks they're okay. But the fact of the matter is, lots of people, most people, the majority of people will not find their names written in that book of life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul said, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So here the Apostle Paul identifies several people who had labored with him in spreading the gospel and doing the work of God. That's a good thing, right? They had worked and diligently tried to help Paul. And Paul said their names are in the book of life. Well, what about people who weren't interested in such things? What about people who never gave a thought or a care in the world to the kind of things that Paul was trying to do as he served God? Paul said here, his fellow laborers, their names are in the book of life. What about people who didn't have any interest in such things and never lifted a hand to do the work of God? Would they be in the book of life too? No way, right? No way. And so not everybody is going to be there. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer describes the saved. He said, "For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, but ye are coming to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn," notice, "which are written in heaven." And so those who are faithful to God, they are the ones, those who do his will in their lives, they are the ones who have their names written in heaven and whose names are in the book of life. And we would just ask you, is your name there? It doesn't get there accidentally. It's not just by chance. It's just not a random occurrence. You've got to be doing the will of God in your life in order to have your name written there. We would point out that there's absolutely nothing, literally nothing, that goes on in your life that compares with the importance of being in the book of life. I know that there are a lot of things that are important in your life. All of us have important things that are going on in our lives, things that we do and so forth. But I think a friend of mine used to challenge us with this simple question. 100 years from now, of all the things that you're doing, what will matter? What will be significant? Of all those important things that you're dealing with in your life, things that you're expending energy to accomplish, devoting your time and attention, of all of those things, and there are a lot of important things in life, of all those things, what will matter 100 years from today? Well, 100 years from today, everybody in this room, with the possible exception of the very youngest ones, and they're going to be real old, they're going to be over 100 years old, right? 100 years from now, we're all going to be dead. And in large measure, 100 years from now, all of us are not only going to be dead, but we're also going to be forgotten. Dead and forgotten. All those things you think are so important right now in your life, nobody will even know that you were involved in those kind of things 100 years from now. You know the one thing that will matter? Whether or not you faithfully served God. That's all that matters. Boil it down. Get it down to its simplest element, and there it is. Being in that book of life, having your name written there in God's record, that's the thing that is more important than anything else. Nothing else compares. There's an interesting episode recorded during the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 10. Jesus had sent disciples out to spread the message of the kingdom. And it says in Luke 10, beginning verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy. And here's why they were happy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So these guys had miraculous powers, right? They'd been granted miracle-working power. But notice, he said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that something? It'd be pretty special to be able to work miracles, wouldn't it? And these individuals had that power to work miracles. And they came back and they were full of joy when they reported the miraculous kind of things that they were able to accomplish as they went about telling the news of the kingdom. And Jesus said, even that doesn't compare in importance to the fact that your names are written in heaven. Nothing compares in importance to that. You know why that's so very important? I think Peter describes that in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3. He said, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Notice, it's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. It fades not away. What do you got going on in your life? What in regards to your material possessions, your savings, you know, your investments, precious things that you have acquired? You know what's going to happen to those? They're corruptible. They will be defiled. They will pass away. No matter how precious a thing is to you or how much value you stake on some particular thing, the reality of anything about this world is that it passes away. It's just temporary. But the reward in heaven is eternal, and therefore nothing compares in importance to being in that book of life. Finally, just one last warning, and we've already mentioned this, but the last warning is your name can be blotted out. Just because it was there at one point doesn't mean that it'll always be there. It can be blotted out. Take you back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And the Lord says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will not blot his name out. That's good. But what's the implication? In other words, this was an admonition to the people to be faithful. Be faithful and your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. What if you are unfaithful? What's the implication? The implication is that the unfaithful will be blotted out. And so there's a real stern warning for us in that. You can be blotted out of the book of life. You've got to continue to be faithful to the Lord. the book of life. Is your name written there? I hope that just these very simple observations we made this morning will be an encouragement to us all to make sure we're right with God. What's the case with you this morning? Have you obeyed that simple gospel plan of salvation? It's not hard to understand. Based upon hearing the truth of God, do you believe it? Will you repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized for the remission of sins? That's just how simple it is. Now, if you understand those simple steps, and if you're ready to make that commitment, we would urge you to do it without delay. We'd be anxious to witness your obedience to Christ today. If you're thinking about it, but you still have some questions, need more information so you can make a good informed decision, just say a word, and we can easily arrange to study with you, and you can have those answers shortly. Can we help you in those ways to help you get your name into the Lord's book of life? Are you a Christian this morning, but you slipped back and you haven't been faithful to your Lord? We just read, it's possible. You can have your name blotted out. You might have had your name there at one point, but it's been blotted out now because you haven't been faithful to your God. Come back to Him in repentance, confession, and prayer. Get your name back in that book of life. If we can help in any way, let us know while we stand and sing this song.